We shall now turn to the chapter which we read together, Genesis chapter 18, and we could read again verse 14. Genesis 18 and verse 14. Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Are there any limits to His power? Is there something you'd like to pray for? And you think, no, I can't pray for that. God couldn't do it. Are you putting limits on the Almighty? Let us remember who God is. God created the world, the universe. He said the word, and it just happened. So almighty, when you look at all these stars, billions of them, and all the mighty expanse of the universe, what is man? That thou art mindful of them, you say. What am I in the presence of this great God? And then you think that God made all these things out of nothing, simply by the word of His power. His great God brought a flood in the world, just as He said. And destroyed all mankind. He saved Noah, just as He said. When men combined against Him and plotted against the Lord and rebelled against Him and made their Tower of Babel reaching up unto heaven, He confused and confounded their languages so that they couldn't understand one another. Down through history, God has shown His power time and time again. Brought His 10 mighty plagues upon the Egyptians. Brought Israel out of the land of Egypt through the Red Sea, as on dry land. When they were hungry, fed them with bread rained on them from heaven. When they were thirsty, He made the hard and flinty rock to become pools of water. He brought His Son into the world through the miracle of the virgin birth. He raised up His Son from the dead in the mighty resurrection. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Is there any miracle that He cannot perform? Is there any mighty act or deed which is beyond Him? Surely not. What encouragement we have to come, to pray to Him, to bring our concerns, our burdens, our troubles, our worries, our fears, to bring the things that perplex us, the impossible situations in which we find ourselves, the weaknesses which crush us down, to come to the Lord in our weakness. And He is our mighty strength. God is able to take us through every trial and trouble and bring us to a wealthy place. Well, first of all, we have here the Lord appearing to Abraham. The Lord appeared unto him, verse 1, in the plains of Mamre. Sometimes that's translated by the oak trees of Mamre. Mamre, the brother of Eshcol, the Amorite, we're told about him earlier, a friend, a confederate of Abraham. And there was Abraham with his tents pitched under these oak trees, flocks round about. It was midday, siesta time. Abraham is sitting in the shade in the door of his tent. He lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men. He saw them coming. He ran to meet them, bowed himself to the ground and said, "My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant." Who was this? One commentator says, Abraham couldn't have recognized that God was there, because if he did, he wouldn't have made a meal for God. Another commentator said, Abraham must have recognized that God was there, because he went to such fuss and bother and made such a meal and was so excited and so enthusiastic in providing for these men. Commentators are often so divided. But as we read the passage, surely we do get the idea that Abraham knew here that there was somebody more than just three ordinary men coming along the road. Certainly, Abraham was hospitable. And it's a good thing to be hospitable. We're commanded, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Probably, especially a reference to Lot entertaining the angels in Sodom. But also, there's a hint of this passage too. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers. Hospitality is good. It's good to show kindness, to show love, to show concern, to have an open home, to share what we have with others. And certainly we have here Abraham setting us a good example. But there's more involved than that. He ran to meet them, three men. One would seem to be leading the other two. He says to that one, "My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray thee, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree, under the oak trees. And I will fetch a morsel, a mouthful of bread, comfort ye your hearts, and after that you shall pass on. For therefore are you come to your servant." And they said, "So do as thou hast said. I'll get you some water to wash your feet, walking along through these dry lands with open sandals would leave their feet dusty. A mouthful of bread." He runs and he goes into the tent to Sarah and says, "Get three measures of fine flour, a heap of flour, and knead it and bake it and make these cakes, these pancakes." And then he went to the herd and he got a young calf, tender and good, gave it to a boy and said, "Dress it, prepare it, fry it up, cook it up, and then he provides the meal." He took butter and milk, or thick milk, and ordinary milk, or some would say curds and milk, and the calf that he had dressed, and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. What do we have here? We have the angel of the covenant, the Lord himself, the second person of the Trinity, accompanied by two angels. Now, angels don't have bodies, and neither at this time did the Son of God have a body. But they come with the appearance of bodies. So if they only had the appearance of bodies, how could they eat? Well, they could eat just in the same way. Just because of the miracle of God's way of working. God is able to do anything, to do everything. We find the Lord eating a meal with his disciples after his resurrection in his spiritual body. People don't eat and drink in heaven. That's not the idea we have. The resurrection body doesn't need food. And yet, of course, the Lord is able to do these things for the benefit and the blessing of his people, his disciples. And so God here is visiting Abraham. It's a wonderful thing when God visits us. And it's something that we need. Our religion is not the religion of mere belief in something or someone we don't know, or something that we have no evidence for. Our religion is meeting with God, getting to know God, and continuing to have an experience of God. And so we have Abraham here, and on various occasions, meeting with God. Now it was perhaps in a more dramatic way that Abraham met with God than the way that you and I meet with God. But we still meet with God. We meet with him as we read his word. And from time to time he comes to us on the page of scripture. Or as we are singing praises to him and our hearts are warm to praise him. Or as we're reading good books, or as we're joining in worship in his house. We're not always conscious of God. No, not at all. But there are times, special times, when the Lord visits and teaches and encourages and challenges us. And we have to have that relationship with God. We've got to get to know him. Because he says that on the judgment day, he will say to some, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Do you know God? And does God know you? The Lord appears to Abraham. And secondly, Sarah laughs. Verse 9, "And he said unto him, Where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, Behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him." Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and had ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, "After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also?" Sarah laughs. Verse 9, the three men, they say to Abraham, "Where is Sarah thy wife?" What was the purpose of this revelation of God? Yesterday, I picked up a commentary. I had read two other commentaries, and then I came to a third commentary, and I noticed something there that I hadn't noticed before. To me it seemed that this passage was just God again repeatedly appearing to Abraham. But no. The purpose of this visit was not Abraham, but Sarah. The whole reason for the Lord's coming was so that Sarah would have faith, so that her faith would be strengthened in order to bear the miracle child, Isaac. The visitation was not for the purpose of helping Abraham's faith. For you remember that Abraham, in chapter 17, rejoiced in the promise of God that he would have a son. Rather, the visit is for Sarah's sake. Where is thy wife? She's in the tent, he says, hidden from view. And then the Lord says, I will return next year about this time, and Sarah shall have a son. And Sarah's listening, as it were, behind the door, or rather in the tent. Verse 11, Abraham and Sarah were old. Sarah 89, Abraham 99. It had ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. She'd passed the menopause. That was all behind her, long behind her. How could she have a child? 89 years of age. Sarah laughs in unbelief. She cannot accept it. It's not a loud, uproarious laugh. It was a laugh, we're told, within herself, in her heart. Not laughing out loud. There was no sneering at the men. She wouldn't dare to do that. But there was that laugh in her heart of unbelief. And she asks, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure? My Lord being old also. Is it possible that I, in my old age, would have a child? She thinks it ridiculous. There's some women here, you're 60 years of age, or 70, or 80 maybe. Could you have a child? Is it possible? How strange. Surely you couldn't have a child. It couldn't happen. It's not natural. It's not normal. Surely it's impossible. Abraham and Sarah had tried for many, many years to have a child, and yet they had none. Surely now it's too late. The laugh of unbelief. Maybe you're praying for something and you feel, no, I might as well give up. It couldn't happen. It's something too big. It's impossible. You're asking the Lord to do something and you've asked for many years and it hasn't happened, and so you say, I'm going to stop praying. I give up. God can't do it. Or God won't do it. God doesn't like to do it. And Satan is whispering in your ear and saying, give up, give up, give up. But don't give up. And even if you don't get the specific thing you are praying for, remember, God will give you something better. He always gives us something better, more than we ask or think, a higher, a better thing than we could ask for. That's the kind of God he is. He gives us the very best, more than we could ask or think. Maybe you've been seeking salvation and praying for years. Well, keep praying. Does he not say in his word, seek and you shall find, ask and you shall receive, knock and it shall be opened unto you? Don't give up. Keep asking, keep seeking, and keep God to his promises. Because God will fulfill his promises. He's the God who cannot lie. So we have here then Sarah's laugh, Sarah's unbelief. But then thirdly, Sarah's rebuke. Verse 13, and the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh? Saying, Shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed I will return unto thee, according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Although Sarah laughed in her heart, although it was a silent laugh, the Lord still heard it. So important to remember that. God hears your secret thoughts. God hears the laugh that no one else can hear. God is aware of what is going on inside us. He is omniscient, and that means He knows everything. Our secret thoughts are as an open book before Him. You cannot hide any sin from God. Fear God and hate sin. Hate the sins of thought as well as the sins of word and of deed. The hypocrite, the Pharisee, thinks the sins of thought don't matter. But the sins of thought do matter. Sarah was rebuked for her sins of thought. Why did Sarah laugh? Obviously, unbelief. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? What brilliant words these are. What comforting and encouraging words. Are you a Christian? Then all the promises of the Bible are yours. Are you unconverted, seeking the Lord? Then you've got His promise as well. Those that seek will find. Remember, unbelief is a terrible sin. Indeed, there's only one sin given in the whole Bible for which there is no forgiveness. And that is the sin of unbelief. It cannot be forgiven. It's the unforgivable sin. The sin of unbelief. Because how do you get forgiveness? Only by believing in Jesus. Believe and you will be saved. Trust in the blood of Christ, and the blood of Christ will wash your sins away. But if you don't trust, the blood will not wash your sins away. If you don't believe, you will not be forgiven. However great your sins, they can be pardoned. But the sin of unbelief, there's no pardon for that sin. So we have here then Sarah's rebuke. Why did Sarah laugh? These words are addressed to Abraham. But in a very real sense, they are addressed to Sarah. Sarah was hiding in the tent. And yet, the words are specially spoken to her. Abraham doesn't answer the question, why did Sarah laugh? Because it wasn't for him to answer. It was a question addressed to Sarah, although put in that way. So Sarah's rebuke. And then fourthly, Sarah's denial. She laughed in unbelief. But then the previous chapter tells us that Abraham laughed. And Abraham wasn't rebuked for laughing. We find it in verse 17 of chapter 17. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? Abraham laughed. But Abraham wasn't rebuked. Why? Because his laugh was not the laugh of unbelief. It was the laugh of delight. It was the laugh of joy. It was the laugh of Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful thing that you have promised me. Abraham believed and it was counted to him for righteousness. He fell upon his face and laughed with delight. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. But Sarah laughed, saying, it's impossible. It won't happen. God can't do it. See, there's different kinds of laughs. The laugh of delight and pleasure and joy. And the laugh of unbelief. Ridiculous. Foolish. It can't be true. It won't happen. Abraham believed and laughed. Sarah doubted and laughed at the very thought. But Sarah then denies. She says, I laugh not, for she was afraid. And he said, nay, but thou didst laugh. So easy to tell a lie, isn't it? A heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Do you find it easy to tell lies? I'm not in. I've got something else on. I'm going here, I'm doing that. A white lie. So easy. Just to get out of an embarrassing situation. Or to pretend that what is stated is not the truth. She lies because she was afraid. She understands that this it's not mere men that have come for this meal. She understands that God is there. But lies don't help. They only increase the guilt. Because God is a God who cannot lie. It's a good thing to have a sensitive conscience. And to be sensitive particularly about the truth. Remember what happened to Ananias and Sapphira when they told a lie. They were struck down dead. In the book of Revelation, we're told that outside of heaven are those who tell lies. Without are liars. Excluded. All liars shall have their part in the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone. That's challenging, isn't it? Hell is the place for liars. Always tell the truth. Speak the truth in love. Sarah denied, saying, I laughed not. For she was afraid. And he said, nay, but thou didst laugh. There's no hiding our sins from God. Whoso covereth his sins shall not prosper, but he that confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Confess your sins, admit them, tell God about them, face up to them, and then there is mercy and there is pardon. Repent and lay hold of the blood of Christ. Why did God come and why did he speak in this way? It was for Sarah's benefit. In order that not just Abraham would believe in God, but also so that Sarah would believe. I want you to turn with me now to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. I don't often ask you to turn up a verse of scripture in the middle of our sermon. And yet, I feel this is such an interesting verse, such an important verse, and a verse over which you can skip and you can forget the close relationship between this verse and the chapter which we were discussing today. Hebrews 11 and verse 11. This is the great chapter of faith, and it tells us about all the great heroes of faith and the wonderful things that they did through believing. Hebrews 11, verse 11, through faith also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it wonderful the faith that God gave to Sarah? What is faith? The gift of God. Why did God come to visit in Genesis 18? In order to give faith. To give faith to Sarah. How could the child be born? Only by faith. How are miracles performed? We need faith for the miracles to be performed. There was Abraham. He believed, but that wasn't enough. Sarah too, she had to come to believe. She also had to exercise faith. And so we see God making a special visit, as it were, from heaven with his two angels coming to the tent, speaking to Abraham, and all that so that Sarah would repent of her unbelief and believe what God said. Through faith, Sarah herself received strength. 90 years of age, she received the strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Do you judge God faithful who makes promises? Do you claim the promises of Scripture for yourself? Do you take them into your heart and say, yes, God has said it. It is true. It is true. I believe it. I believe it. I believe it. And I know that nothing will ever happen against this. This is the truth. And I stand firmly upon it. This is God's word. And it is the truth. I believe. God's Son died on the cross and rose again, and I believe in him as the Savior of sinners. Faith, the gift of God. Through faith, Sarah received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Do you have faith? Do you judge God faithful? Who has promised?